I'm kind of assuming that you're reading the book. Maybe some of you are not, but never mind. But in the spirit of things here together, I want to kind of spend time talking with you more than I'm preaching to you. Okay? And I'm now convinced more than ever before that the foundation to the church, the foundation to our lives, are critically needing to be restored, is needing to be brought back to our lives. And this is the main problem today in our personal life. I'm not saying this just because this is only applicable to young Christians, but that goes even for older Christians, because I'm spending a lot of time talking to older people today. As I spend time talking to older pastors and older people, I'm beginning to see more and more now and how lacking we are with foundations, and how we have compromised with foundations, how we have violated foundations, we have lost foundations, we have neglected foundations, and we have turned our face away from foundations, and we've hijacked, you know the word hijack is it, we've hijacked foundations, and because we've done that, the price in which we have to pay, how costly it is for the church, for our lives, when we compromise with foundations. And that's why Psalm 11 says that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All right? There's a particular psalm that you may or may not have read this, but it's not too far into the book of Psalm, in Psalm 11, that the psalmist cries out and say that if the foundations be destroyed, then what can the righteous do? And there is an issue of foundations. Okay, Paul said to Timothy, writing to Timothy, he says that truth is the pillar and the ground of the church. All right, anything that has to do with the pillar and the ground of the church, then it has to do with the foundation of the church. And God have chosen truth to be the pillar and the ground of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, if the foundation, which is the truth, is compromised, is neglected, is abused, or has been hijacked, then we're going to have problems. The church is going to have the problem. Is going to have problems. And when I say church is going to have problems, I'm not saying the building, church as in buildings, because our mind many times switch to a building, to an organization, to a denomination, to a group of people. And that's how mentally we think. But when Paul saw the church, he saw living stones. All right? Paul calls the church living stones, little stones put together. All right? Packed, stuck together. Just imagine living stones put in together. We are supposed to be living stones. All right. Jesus said to Peter, upon this stone, upon this rock, I will build my church. Stoned, because when Jesus sees the church, he sees that little stones put together, all right, fitted together, is going to become a house. Why do you put stones all together and fit stones together? Because you want a house. What's the house for? The house is to become the dwelling place of the Father. God is looking for a house. And in his house, there are many rooms. And you and I are the rooms that is in the house of God. Got the point here? In my Father's house are many mansions, are many dwelling places. We are to be rooms in the Father's house. Before God can have such a massive house, he needs to prepare rooms in the house. We are that room. And that's why we are given time here on earth in our walk and in our relationship with God to develop that relationship to the point that our lives are like rooms in which God can fill every part of us. That's why we are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit here while we are on earth. And we are to learn and to practice what it means to live with the presence of God, so that the presence of God can fill our house, they fill our rooms, that will one day be a part of the house of God. You see, all these language that I'm using, they are in your Bible. They are foundational in the New Testament. And we have lost that foundation today. We've got our eyes focused on things that have taken us away from the foundations. And one of the tactics of the enemy is to get us so involved in the church until we are further and further away from the foundations. Is to be involved in the church and yet become further and further away from the foundation. You see how the tricks of the enemy is not to get you to a place so that you can be further away from the church. So many men and women today, they are not further away from the church. They're still in the church. But you can be in the church and yet be so far away from the foundation. Two different issues. And this is how the enemy has tricked us. Is to be in the church and yet be so far away from the foundation. I sometimes wonder which one is even safer. To be even closer to the foundation and, you know what, be a little bit far away from the church. It's fine. Because somehow, if your foundation is right, you get back to the church. There's no escape. You will get back to the church. Because how can God build foundation in you and yet not get you back to the church? The church is His center. The church is His program. The church is His eternal purpose. His eternal purpose will be worked out through the church. His love is for the church. It is the body of His own Son. How can He not have His church? But you can be so be in a place called a church, as today we have so diluted the word church to the point that we don't even know the meaning of the church anymore. And one of the places in which the enemy has so subtly worked is in the area of foundations. And part of this ministry, and part of what the Lord is going to lead us and has been leading us in these past days, is once again to strike at the foundations. All right? And it's always safe to go back to the beginning. All right? It's always safe to go back to the beginning. What have I been talking just in the last 10 minutes? I'm talking to you about things that is from the beginning. And it is because we have not visited the beginnings again and again and again that we have lost sight, that we have gotten ourselves into trouble. All right? So now, one of the things I want to do here this evening, quick one, I don't want to take too much of time. I still want to pray with all of you, following the spirit of that prayer that was here just a while ago. When Eugene was leading us, I want that. And by the way, just to also to bring this announcement to you, when I'm back from Mongolia, we're going to start praying here in some of the days of the mornings. All right, we'll let you know. I spoke with Claire, and the reason why I caught her is because she's the one that has the free time in the morning, because that's when she loses the two kids happily for a couple of hours, and then we can get to prayer. I know that some of you can't because you are in the programs, but for those who can, you can come and join us. We'll let you know the date to the morning from 10 to 12 o'clock, perhaps for 2 hours here, we can start to pray. All right, leading up to the close of the year and so many other things that the Lord has put in our hearts, not just the book, but the itineraries and the tours and the places that has been opened up. I've just been told that Japan could be a possibility. I've just been invited by the Japanese pastor in Mount Kiara, who wants to see me. We're supposed to give her a book, and she's hoping to go to Osaka, returning to Osaka to start some work. So we'll see where this will go. So all of the possibility. We've been praying for Japan for a long, long time as a ministry here. So there's a possibility that the door to Japan might be opened. All right. I want to do this here this evening. Would you turn with me to Ephesians, please? And foundational things of which I want to kind of talk with you briefly. And I like that. I like the fact that some of you from the programs are young in the Lord, or you are very much new in the faith. So these foundational things are absolutely essential. And for those who are older, well, at least for myself, that has been so long in the Lord, but I need to not only to consider for myself, but I need to talk about these things, because as I begin to talk about these things, it brings tremendous encouragement and refreshing to my own heart. All right? So I want you to turn to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read, but just before we do that, I want to do something here quickly. All right? No worries about that. I want to put it up on the board, and then by the time we finish reading, we can work with this little simple diagram here. All right? So the word here is material creation. And on this side is spiritual creation. All right? I'm going to do some contrasting here this evening. So Ephesians 5, as I said, breaking in and... where should we do this? Verse 5 of Ephesians 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We'll stop there. All right? Now, I want you to do this, and you notice that Paul so ably talk about the whole dynamics of light here. But I want you to kind of keep Ephesians 5 open. Turn with me to Genesis and the first chapter. And I suppose you kind of will know where I will be taking you. And it's in Genesis 1. Okay? Now, and this is where I think you are following closely in your mind. You will begin to appreciate that what I'm drawing here for you is to show to you the whole present or the first item or the first central features of God's creation, be it in the material creation or be it in the spiritual creation, like is the foremost. Like is the first item. Like is the first or central element in both of the creation aspect. So be it in the material creation or whether it is spiritual creation. So in terms of spiritual creation, this is where You have Paul writing to the church at Ephesus that we just read in those scriptures. All right? We'll come to talk about that. And this is where our concentration is. Like as in the whole domain of spiritual creation. And this is where we are in. This is where we come in. This is what makes us as children of light, as Paul says. Jesus said that too. All right? He is the like of the Father. And when we follow him, and when we receive him, when he comes into our lives, when we believe our lives into him and him in us, we become inherently and inwardly children of light. This is how God sees us, that we are children of light. We used to be children of darkness. Okay? And I don't have to put emphasis on that. And by the way, you notice that Paul still talks about the exposing of darkness. And that's also a very interesting thing, because if you are a Christian, if you have a relationship with the Lord, one of the things in which are going to be a real part of your life is the exposing of darkness in your life. Now, our understanding of darkness many times is confined to terrible things, ugly things, grotesque things, things that are really corrupted and twisted in its nature. That's darkness too. But understand that when the Bible talks about darkness, is a very all-encompassing word, meaning there are also areas of darkness that will continue to exist in us, of which we are told that it's going to be a combat, it's going to be a struggle, there's going to be a confrontation, there's going to be a constant, a constant opposition. All right? That's why there's a thing called the exposing of darkness. We'll come to that if we have time. And even if we don't tonight, in the course of our time together, we will touch on those areas. All right? So here you are in the material creation. Let's look at Genesis, the first chapter. And of course, and it reads here in the first chapter. And here, see again how foundational this is? We're dealing with foundational truth. But see how present they are, and so how they are bringing a moment, this moment, at this present, a current situation, an application to our lives. All right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Then, of course, comes all the other creation, or the material creation that was called forth. Now, I want you to see that, of course, we all know this fundamentally, that all the creation that that succeeded, or that came in succession after that verse, light was the first item, light was the first element, okay, that was called for. Let there be light. So see how important that is? Light is the first item, it's the first reality. Light is the first element to be called forth in the material creation. Now, after light, then comes all the other creative act of God. The vegetation, the heavens, the skies, the water, the sea, the mountains, then the animals, then the grass, and the vegetations, and so on and so forth. So day after day. Now each of this creative act was constituted in a day. So there's a time sequence. Now as to how that one day looked like, we don't know at the beginning. A lot of debate goes on. One day is what? 24 hours? Or what? Is that really a day? One day? We don't know. Was God having to wait after that one day? It's up to him to choose that one day after that, how long before the next day he's going to create the next set of his creative act. It's up to him. He's God. He has the prerogative. He has the right to do as he wish. So it doesn't matter. As long as the word record for us, and we now know that each day was assigned to the creation of which God brought forth the creation and brought into order. Now, we all know this in our lives. We all know this in our spiritual life, or at least in our years of growing up in the church, that every creative act of God needed, listen, God needed no help. God needed nothing to work with. He called forth these things out of nothing. Now, how many of you know that we cannot work with nothing to bring out something? That's not in us. Men have to have something to bring out something. You've got to have something, and then you create something, you form something, you make something, you know, you build something. But God is the only one that can bring forth something from nothing. Got the point there? So none of those creation, or all of the creative act of God that we read in Genesis there, evolve. That's where we have the word evolution, progress, development, structure, organization. You know all this thing here? All right? Creation means that God created. He brought forth something out of nothing. You didn't have to wait for something to develop or to mature or to form or to organize or to evolve or to take shape or to form. Nothing, none of this in the entire creation story here, nothing of which God created came through evolution, came through development. God didn't have to. He didn't have to wait for it because He's God. He doesn't have to wait for those things to develop out of something. Fought something and built it and structured it and lay things on it and work on it. He didn't have to. He just had to what? Speak. The scriptures say, and He spoke. Let there be light. He spoke. He spoke things. He spoke the first element of creation into existence. Light. He spoke light, and there was light. That's who He is. Very important today. We need to understand that this is the foundation of creation. And when He spoke that light into existence, listen, all of the creation that followed was to be the same. He spoke it into creation. He spoke it into existence. He spoke it to bring it forth. That is the power and the majesty of God's creative act. It needed no assistance. It needed no human hands. It needed no human intelligence. This is divine intelligence. This is divine mindset. It has got nothing to do with humans. Are you listening? Very important. I want you to understand that. Because it's very foundational for our lives when we come to spiritual creation. All right? So, like, what's the first element? Like was spoken into existence. And from like came, now we all know that, from like came all other creative act of God. So God is consistent. God is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end must be the same. Must agree. And that's how wonderful God's name is. This is who He is by nature. Intrinsic character of God is that He's the beginning and the end, which means what is inherently at the beginning in Him, He does it all the way to the end. It doesn't violate His character and His nature. That's why it's so important for you and I to know that we need to build our lives on realities, on truth like that. That's why somewhere in your Christian life, when you are challenged, when you have temptations, when you have weaknesses, when you go through sorrows and problems and doubts and trials and temptations and difficult times, you need to understand you are going to go through in all of the yo-yo experiences of your life. You must understand things in you may be affected. Your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, every other area of your life as a human being may be affected. But listen, what is is it that keeps you? What is it that keeps the faith of God in you steady? It's the knowledge to know that God is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. That He is the beginning and the end. That what God starts, He's the same at the end. What is at the beginning with God, He's the same at the conclusion. And that's why your faith is rested upon. That's why your whole being and your whole faith is built upon. It's not upon your emotions. It's not upon sometimes how you feel, how you don't feel. What you like, what you don't like. Your ups and your downs. And that's why you need to understand this at the beginning of your journey with Jesus Christ. All right? So, now here you are. He spoke that light into creation. And after the speaking of that light, light of which came from nothing, God spoke it into existence. Light didn't evolve. Light then wasn't formed slowly. There was no progression. There was no improvement. There was no step-by-step measure or manner of which God brought light into existence. He spoke it, and it came. No one can improve this. Is there anything in which you need to improve with light? The moment you look at it, oh, it's not perfect. I need to improve it. When God spoke that light, it was perfect. That's why it was called good. Every aspect of God's creation was what? Was good. Was just as He wanted. Good simply means just as God intended it to be. There's no defects. There's no one step short, or something incomplete, something not satisfactory. So good simply means that God was ultimately satisfied. God took pleasure in it. He didn't speak something into existence, and then He looked at it, and He was scratching a little bit, and then He was kind of took two, three steps back and said, you know what? I didn't do a good job. I'm going to do it better now. And then He broke it all down, and then stopped from scratch again. No, God didn't do it. The moment He spoke light and all the other aspects of creation that follow, it was good. And it was when He came to humans that God said it was what? Very good. You know why it was very good? Because it's going to bear the moral image of God. It's going to start to have a moral reflection. Okay, there you are, trees and mountains and seas and greens and vegetations, they are good, but they are not the moral reflection of God. Humans are to be the moral reflections of God. Okay, so now, very important, I want you to see this. So right after the beginning, the central element called light, all the other process of creation followed the same pattern. Alpha, Omega. God spoke, all the other things was also spoken, was also through the process of creation, with no human interference, with no human improvement, with no human ingenuity. God brought it forth, just as He desired it to be. Now, very important. Now, Paul was given the understanding. Paul, the Apostle Paul, this very scripture that we just read in Genesis is the scripture that Jewish people read in the Torah. They read it in the first five books known as Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Old Testament. All right? Five. The first five books. The Torahs. It consists of the first five books of the Old Testament. So Jews will read it. They read it even better because they read it in the Hebrews. We're all reading it through all kinds of translation. Most of these translations are not perfect. So the Jewish people read it from the Hebraic translation, straightforward, just as was given to them by the prophet Moses. Moses was the author, of the book. God gave the words to Moses. He wrote the first five books. So Paul, who is a Jewish man, understand, in the same way in which the material creation came about, the same manner, he's the Alpha, and therefore he's also the what? The Omega. He's the beginning, so therefore he's also the what? The end. So is he consistent with his pattern? Yes. So just as he created the material creation, now he's going to create his what? What creation? spiritual creation. If you read Paul, he puts a word there. He doesn't use the word spiritual. Use the word what? Did you read this word? New. Okay? He used the word new creation. Okay? So the spiritual creation is the new creation. So what is spiritual creation? The spiritual creation has to do with what? Has to do with our lives. Has to do with our spirit, our soul, and our body. Now, very important here. If you can understand this, you begin to appreciate. Now follow the pattern I just said a while ago. When you look at the material creation, look at the principles that we were following. I'm just putting some ticks here just to remind you. I don't have to put any words there. Now, follow the pattern. So, light was the first element for the material creation. What was to be the element for our spiritual creation? Light. Got the point there? So, when God begins to create you, or recreate you, should I use the word here? We are all created now. Okay? But this is a fallen creation. Look at all of us today. We can't help ourselves today. The moment we are born, look at us. Look at the world we're living in. Look at the lives we have lived. So when I was talking with some of you guys in the rehab centers, you know, years ago, 30, 40 years ago, drug addiction in the world and in Malaysia has to do with all the, you know, hawkers and broken families and all the dropouts in schools that take ganjas and opiums and, of course, heroin, which was the king of all drugs in those days. But today, you know, I was talking to Sam. He said that some of my programmers are 19, 20 years old. They're all top of their class in their studies. They all come with great minds. They all, you know, 9 straight A's or 10 straight A's. But is it now they're sitting in my program and their minds are completely destroyed? They are lawyers, you know, the executive today in programs today, because they wear ties and suits. You know, they go to court for their court cases, but the pressure of work and the changes of life and the circumstances of the city and the world and all of the pressure that is coming upon them, they couldn't take it. So now they don't take heroin. So now they have what do you call that? Ice. Ice is cool. So they take ice. They make meth. And so there's a shift in the world today. It's not those guys who are running the streets, you know, like beggars taking drugs anymore. These are guys with suits and ties and long sleeve shirts and sit in corporate offices in KL, and they're now secretly pumping and dropping, you know, tablets in their mouth, burning their brains and burning their body parts. All right? So it is a fallen creation. So Paul understood and wrote this in a wonderful way. He says that when God comes to recreate us, very important. All right? Very important. Christianity. Listen, Christianity is not God putting you in a place so that he can improve you. Salvation is not God's improvement program. Coming to church and sitting down is not a place so that, you know what, God is going to fix you piece by piece. Salvation, redemption, is not God's, what do you call that, mechanic program. Very important. This is how you need to understand this. The moment when God chooses you and have targeted your life in his love to recreate you, this is what he does. He doesn't need your help. In fact, listen, This is why sometimes God has to take a long time for some of us until you are exhausted with all your help. That's why there are people today who are placed in certain places in life. Some of them who are sitting in church for 4 or 5 years. You know what? They struggle for 4 or 5 years. They're not saved yet. They don't know the Lord yet. They know the church. They know the program. They know the song. They know the worship. They know the programs. They know the activities. But they're not saved. Meaning, they have never had light spoken into their lives. They're in a rehab program. They're sitting in a church. They know the tambourine dancers. They know the shofars. They know the programs. They know the scriptures. They even buy Bibles and keep in their home. And for 4 or 5 years, they raise their hand in the church. But light have never entered into them. So God wait for the moment where He can bring light into us. You have to understand, we're following the pattern here. That's why men and women need to understand that. That's why you all need to understand that. Because I join a church, that don't mean I am a child of light. Hello? I join a university, that don't make me a university student. I've gone to MU, I don't know how many times. You know why I go to MU? I go borrow books. But that don't make me a university, Malaya University student. Got the point there? I've been to clinics, but that don't make me a doctor. I've been to a lawyer's office, but that don't make me a lawyer. Just because we've been to church, that don't make us a Christian. So the foundation of a man and a woman who is a Christian, let's change vocabulary now. Don't use the word church. A man and woman who sits in the church, by right, we're supposed to be what? His new creation. So we can be sitting in a Christian program and yet never have a new creation experience. We were never a new creature in Jesus Christ. Why? Because light has never entered into us. Pastors cannot bring light to you. Programs cannot bring light to you. Christian songs and worship cannot bring light to you. Are you understanding here? You can sit in discipleship program. It doesn't mean that light can come to you. Because why? It's the same pattern in the material creation. Because His light cannot be assisted by humans. The light cannot be made. It cannot be created. It cannot be made. It cannot be formed and shaped and structured by men. Light has to be what? Spoken. So God has to speak as He spoke like in the first creation. He now has to speak like in the spiritual creation. So light. That's why it's so important for us to understand this. You see, a foundational. I join a church that don't make me or qualifies me as a son and a daughter of light. This light cannot be given to us by men who are in the church. They are well-meaning. I can love you. I can care for you. I can pray with you. I can lead you to church. I can buy you food. I can help you get a job. I can do all these things for you. Wonderful. But I can't give you light. Are you listening here? Very important. So it's important for those who now goes and sit in a place called church, for us to know this now here, but it's also important for those who are what? Who are helping other people or seeing other people in the hope that one day light can come to them. Now, what I just mentioned a while ago, buying food for them, finding a job for them, looking after them, praying for them, is it wrong? No, it's not. It's right. In fact, it's good. In fact, it's wonderful, and that's exactly what we should do. But we should do it with knowledge to know that all of these things that we do for other people, it's not going to be a light-giving moment. We cannot give light. Are you listening? Some of us, we act as if by me buying food for you, the moment I beg you chai kway tiao, that light will come through the chai kway tiao. Light doesn't come through chai kway tiao. Chai kway tiao may be needed for you to know that I have been loved by someone. I've been cared for by this group of people called whatever name they are. They really care for me. They visit me in the hospital. They pray for me. But all of my prayer and visitation is not going to impart light to you. Got the point there? And this is where the problem is today in the church, that those people who are doing these things seems to think that we have the power to bring light to people. We don't have power. We're not supposed to act like that. We can call fire. We can call light down to hit you. I tell you, if I can call light down to hit you, the first person I want to hit is to hit myself. I want light to come and hit me, not hit you. I want more light than ever before. But I have no power over this light. God is the one who is the source of light. Jesus is the light of the Father. He is the light of the world. So light has to be spoken as it was in the material creation, so is in the spiritual creation. Now, very important, guys. Listen, this is the principle. This is where I want to stop. You see, touching foundations is so wonderful. You don't have to go long for it. But this is where I want to break into this. Now, listen, what's the second principle here? One of the principles is that when light has been called forth, unaided, unsupervised, no one can help this. No human element is in this coming forth of this light in the first creation. The moment when this light was called forth, did all other creation follow? Yes or no? Read. The first day. The second day. The third. The fourth. All of that which followed, all of the creative act that followed after this coming forth of the light, follow the sequence. They were all spoken into existence. Very important. I want you to see that they were spoken into existence. They were brought forth out of nothing. That's why it's so powerful. That's why the apostle saw this and reminded the Hebrew Christian in his letter to the Hebrews in chapter 11. Faith. What is faith? What is faith? Can someone here read? Someone still remember in your mind? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And what? And the evidence of things what? Not seen yet. So this is now, listen, this is the same understanding so long ago in the ages past, now given to the Hebrew children who are now Christian in a time of persecution. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All these Hebrew Christians who believe in Jesus are suffering. They are persecuted. They have lost their loved ones. They have been martyred. Their bodies have been torn apart. They've been thrown into arena to be torn by lions. And here are these Hebrew Christians who are suffering. And here is the Hebrew writer, whoever he is, writing to the Hebrew Christian. He said, "You hang in there. You are troubled. Your knees are weak. Your knees are feeble. Your hands are weak." These are pictures of trial. Because when you are tried, your knees are going to give way. Your hands are going to go weak. When you are going through a time of trouble, and when you are tried, and when you are tested, everything that you have believed in your head has been called into testing, has been called into seeing whether this is all real now. You talk for so long. Now that you're going through it, how do you flare? How do you stand up? How do you still in your heart honor and love the Lord? Can you still do that? When you see your loved ones being torn by lions, when their bodies has been cut asunder or cut into half, what do you do? Do you still call on the name of the Lord whom you served for so long in the days of goodness and peace? You love him with all your heart, but do you still love him now? This is the text that the Hebrew writer was writing.
And here is the genius, it is the wisdom of God in the Christian. He said, faith. He said, as human, what do you do? He said, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Is the evidence, is the evidence of things not what? Not seen. Faith sometimes makes as though, God, where? God, I followed you, but where? Lord, I've read your word, I believe in you, but God, where? How? How is it going to come? Who's going to bring it? Here you are. This is where it all came from. So the Hebrew writer begins to talk about in the same manner. How does it come? Through humans? Through people? To people that you thought is going to make it happen, provide for you, do these things for you, save you out of the lion's den? What do? You look to who? You look to authorities, you look to government, you look to officials, you look to men of powers, men of influence. What do when there's nothing anymore? This is our reference point. This is where we go back again. That's why I said to you, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Hebrew Christians will make to return all the way into this unshakable foundation. This is who he is. God, I look to you. Faith is the very substance of things hoped for. God, I hope in you. I hope in you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Lord, my faith is in you. Not in a thing. Not in people. Not in circumstances. My faith is in you. Because that's who you are. You can bring out something. You can bring forth something out of nothing. I wait for you. My faith is in you. My hope is in you. Amen. You see, this is all part of the foundation of our lives now. This is the part I want to bring, and this is the part that I want to take you back to Ephesians 5. When that light was spoken into us, as it was in the first creation, Paul says this. You like the word here? I'm going to put it up here for you. Ephesians chapter 5. He calls it the fruit of light. Isn't it interesting? The fruit of light. So if we are the new creation of Jesus Christ, and if God has spoken this light into our lives. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a while. 2 Corinthians 4:1. This is the scriptural reference. This has to do truly with the new creation of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right. And verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. There you are. Paul is returning all the way to Genesis chapter 1. This is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is from Genesis, the first chapter we just read. And Paul now understood in this second creation, or in this new creation, he said, what? He has now shined into our hearts. That's the new creation. He's shining into our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? How many of you know that when light comes, you know, you enter into a dark room, I don't even know who is in the room, whether it's Justin or Thomas in the room. So what do? I just hear their voice on it. Hey, who's in there? Of course Thomas is in there. Hey, it's me. No? And Justin, of course, Justin, his voice, I know the both of them is there. Where are you? So I need to do what? I have to turn on the lights. The moment I turn on the lights, what do I see?
Justin, Thomas. The moment when God shines the light into you, who do you see? The face of Jesus Christ. You just see his face. How do you know it? He shines the light. It cannot be taught. Jesus cannot be taught into you. It cannot be taught to you in a school, in a Bible school, in a training center, in a theological seminaries. Jesus Christ cannot be taught because you sit down in front of me and for 36 hours nonstop, I've been teaching you on Jesus Christ. It cannot be taught to you. I can tell you, I can teach Jesus to you, I can tell you all the gospel story, you can know all the details from start to finish, you can know all of these things, but you know what? You will never see his face, because the face of Jesus Christ can only be given to you by the light of the Spirit. Only God can lighten the face of Jesus Christ in you. Once, you see, this is the thing today, you need to understand as you grow older, you want to touch the face of Jesus in men. When I spend time with people, I'm wanting to touch the face of Jesus in people. I don't want just to hear people tell me how much Jesus, they did this or do that. They do this, they go here, they go there. I built this, I built that. They start this, they start that. Yes, I know all of it. All this is for Jesus' name. I want to see his face. I want to touch his face in you. There are so many today in the church that don't have the face of Jesus in them. Even if they do have, it's all blurry. It's all unclear. It's all foggy. It's blurry. It's all shady. It's not clear. There's something about spiritually, when you start to grow up, the face of Jesus becomes clearer and clearer. Amen. Face is so important, you know that? Amen. You don't want to marry a wife who doesn't have a clear face. Hey? You know someone through that face. That's something else for another time. So here you are. I like this. I like what Paul began to understand. He follows the pattern. He follows the whole order here. He says, when light has been spoken into our lives, you know what he does? I mean, it's just ingenious. This is just by the inspiration of God in his life. He began to understand, just as it was in the material creation, the first order of creation was light. And when light entered and came, all the other successive or progressive creation of God followed in all of its wonder. And as it was without the help of men, without the assistance of anyone, so it is even in all of the other orders of creation. God spoke the entire universe and the entire galaxy into existence. And he said, and this is what he said, that when light enters into us, what happens? He brings the all the other what? Fruit of the light starts to follow. This light is going to bring out fruits. It's not you. It's not how hard you try sitting in a church. It's not how hard you try to grow spiritually. And what are the fruits? Singular here. Fruit of light consists, let's read it, shall we? Verse 9. What? All goodness, righteousness, truth. Have you struggled in that all your life? Have you struggled in all of those areas, the goodness, the righteousness, the truth? How much you want the righteousness of God? How much, God, I want your truth. I want your truth to be in my life. I want all of my inward parts to be transformed into truth. Like David cried, that Lord, that you might put truth in my inward part. I mean, no truth in my inward part. In other words, let my inward part be filled with truth. Be truth controlled. Be truth motivated. Because we don't have truth in us. We only have darkness. We have lies and we have deceit that is in us. We are corrupted because of sin. God, there is no truth in me.
There's no righteousness about my ways. Have we all cried for that? Well, good. If you're crying for that, then you and myself today, who are sons of darkness and sons of disobedience, as Paul said, he said, now this is the hope, this is the beginning, that in that spiritual creation of God, God brings the light into us. And once the light is ignited in us, the face of Jesus has been made real in our lives. What follows? What? Fruit followed. So, how many of you know that you don't force a papaya to grow faster than what the papaya is? I know you can put fertilizer and do what you want. Okay? I know a little bit of those sciences anyway. But you can't force it, isn't it? It's going to grow. It's going to come. The fruit is going to come forth. So Paul understood that the moment when light has been deposited in him, the fruit of that light begins to take shape. So God called forth this fruit out of us. He calls the goodness. He calls the righteousness. He calls the truth. And he even goes as far as, by the way, verse 9, don't stop, is a comma. And then it goes, the next verse, which is verse 10, is a continuation of verse 9. It says, trying to learn what is what? Pleasing to the Lord. To me, this is my favorite. This is my favorite. That one of the fruit of the like of which God will call forth out of my life is to live a life constantly, moment by moment, a life that pleases Him. And you know what? God's going to give to us such a way to figure it. You're going to learn it. You're going to learn what it means to please Him day by day, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month. You're going to figure it all out. You're going to learn. There will be a learning process in you. There will be a knowledge within you that God will bring into your heart to know what it means to please Him and how to please Him. And Paul says, of which all of this is not of your doing. It is what? The fruit of light. The same as it was in the first creation. When light was called forth, the fruit of that light that followed, and all of the creative actions of God derived from the same principle, unassisted, unaided by human hands. So if that can happen in the first creation, must it also happen in the new creation? Yes. And Paul says, why not? Why haven't you members of the church in Ephesus and men and women in the church in Ephesus allowed the Lord to do this? So what is right there? The exaltation for Paul. Paul says, what? I'm going to put this in big capital letter. That's why you need to what? You need to walk. You need to walk in the light. How many of you know that walking is difficult? Yes or no? Many of us here, walking is difficult. I walk faster than my wife. And that's always the problem. Because I walk fast and she walks slow, I always have to wait for her. So waiting is not the problem. It's the walking that's the problem. I can wait. But walking, you know what? I could slow down the pace. The only way that Gladys can follow me is I slow down. But if I slow down, I look funny. Because for her to be slow is part of her nature. For me to slow, it is against my nature. So walking becomes what? Walking becomes a lesson. Walking becomes an experience. Walking becomes a discipline, a control part of my life. I'm just using this as an example. Now walking what? Walking in the light. You need to work at the walking in the light. You need to abide in the light. You need to stay in the light. You need to work at the walking. And this is where all this comes about today. Part of the walking in the light is going to allow God to expose darkness in you. To show darkness in you. Darkness is in what? Not in those bad things you have done, but in those secret things that hides in your heart. That's darkness too.
secret thoughts, hidden agendas, things that you have, things that you might even know or don't know, that is now kind of found its way in the inner recesses of your life, somewhere in the basement, you know, of your soul. These things are hiding. Well, that's all part of fallen nature. That's all part of being a human. Don't be alarmed. Some of you sitting here, we always alarm sometimes, you know, oh, this thing can happen to so and so. Well, because it can happen to you too, because it's darkness. So walking in light, that also includes the exposing of darkness. All right, I'm packing it all in for you here as I close. All right? And what an encouragement it was for the church in Ephesus. The same order of creation that God brought forth in the first is the same order of creation that God is wanting the new creation now. The spiritual creation, which is the church of Jesus Christ. The fruit that was supposed to follow. So here is Paul encouraging and bringing this whole revelation to the church here in Ephesus. So, and I like what he said in verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. So it all has to do with visibility. You like visibility? That's exactly why light is so advantageous, and light is so needful. It's all visible. Visibility. Huh? Some of us here, so much of things are hidden in us. That's why we can't talk. Huh? We can't talk. We can't tell. We can't confess. We can't open our mouth. We can't tell people. We can't share. We can't give. We can't be transparent. We can't be open. You see all these words here? You know why I put all these words here? It's because we're not visible. All those things that I just mentioned can only happen to us when we become visible. That's why we're so scared. We're so intimidated. We're always hiding behind shadows. We always use, you know, appearances to be the dress up. Oh, I'm shy. I know I'm shy. You know, shyness can be a form of what do you call that? A form of insecurity. Shyness could be a form of just hiding behind your shyness, hey? Of not having to confront truly what is inside you. Why? Because we're not visible. Why is it that we're not visible? Because there's no light. Light makes all things visible. So many of us here, our personality, our life has been all, you know, crouched or hidden in darkness behind all these, what do you call that? Man-made veils. I call them veils. That's why we veil behind insecurity. I'm shy. I can't do this. I don't have the courage. I have no confidence, and so on and so forth. We hide behind all of these things here. I've got a bad parents. I don't have a good mother. You know, I have a failed marriage, and all of these things here. Well, here you are. That's what light does to you. Visibility. He brings these things out. All right? That's why, now, how many of you know that to confront these things, we need goodness, righteousness, and truth? These things are characters. Listen. These things are characters in our personality. It's only when men who are filled with goodness, righteousness, and truth that we're able to confront darkness. We're able to expose darkness. Not everyone. Do you know why sometimes God takes a long time to expose our darkness? Because He knows that if He exposes it without goodness and righteousness and truth, He'll kill you. The shame is going to kill you. The guilt is going to be more than you can bear. You understand that? That's why God takes time. So it always go in measure. As the measure of goodness and righteousness and truth begins to take shape and begins to increase in you, then God can trust you in having to expose darkness. That's where God is able to finally bring things into visibility. Oh, there you are. Oh, that's where it came from. Oh, well, there you are. The light comes and you're able to deal with it. You're able to, together with the Church of Jesus Christ, with your husband, with your wife, with your children, and with church members of Jesus Christ, you're able to then deal with these issues. That's why it's so important.
So I like what Watchman Nee many years ago dissected the book of dissected the book of Ephesians. That's why he says that in the first portion, the first three chapters of Ephesians, he calls it sit. All right? When you get into the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he calls it what? Eh? Walk. There you are. And finally, you turn to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and that's the real deal, because that's where you really have to get ready to fight, because you're going to deal with principalities and powers and spiritual wickednesses. And that's where you need to what? Stand. All right? That's why he has a little book which is so interesting, which is one of the best books that I ever read as far as Nee's ministry is concerned. He called it Sit, Walk, and Stand. That's why he has to sit you in Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. You're seated with him. He saved you so that he can sit you. Positional, very important. It's a spiritual reality in you. Once you are seated, then he's able to make you what? Walk. That's the practical part. The walking, that's the difficult thing. That's my difficulty for 35 years in a marriage, to walk, having to discipline myself to hold my wife's hand and walk slower than she does. And sometimes it's too slow. So I kick her. Huh? Yeah, faster lah. The lorry coming faster. He walk like a hakamoy. Walk faster. See that? The walk has tension. Alright? Some of you here don't like tension? You see you hate? Cannot. Walking has tension. There's always tension when you walk. Okay? So there's a lot of spiritual exercises here. So you need to walk in the light. You need to learn the dynamics of light. How light works in you. Allowing the light to produce the fruit in you. You can't do it. But you need to walk in the light. You need to fellowship with Jesus Christ so that the fruit of light can start to have a significant produce in you. And in that produce, darkness will be exposed. So once we're seated, we start to walk properly, then we're able to what? You able to? Stand. Three of them are positional. They're very important in the whole composite of our spiritual life. We need to sit, we need to walk, and we need to stand. And that's why he puts the stand way at the end. Why? Because it's going to take a lot of stamina. You think walking is bad? You think walking is going to is strenuous for you? Wait until you stand. Huh? Wait until you stand. Wait until you stand at your post. Because the fight is going to be really hard here. But you need to stand. It comes the way in which the years and the times and the days in which you have walked as you should and you have been properly seated. Then only are we able to stand the onslaught of the enemy. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Lord, thank you. And help us. Help the body, help the church, your body, of whom, Lord, you love so much. You purchase it. Thank you so much. We're grateful to you. Lord, build foundation in all of us. Lay them in the genius of your application, in the wisdom of which you order each one of our lives. None of us today, Lord, is larger than this, bigger than this, higher than this. Your truth confounds us. So, Lord, bring us to such a place that we who have been seated with you must now walk with you before we can stand for you and stand with you. Thank you so much, Lord. Seal this in us. Help us in these days. Thank you for the order in which you established for the first creation. And now as new creation, as your people, help us to believe you. Help us to understand how wonderful it is when you can finally produce the fruit of light in us. My God, because in producing the fruit of light, Lord, you are pleased. You take ultimate pleasure in it all. Bring us there. Bring us, Lord. Cause us to be children of light. As men and women that have learned the skill, Lord, and the ability to walk in the light as you are in the light.
and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. We give you praise for our time here, for each one as you continue to lead. Lord, we ask once again for grace for Mongolia. Lord, may this word as it is be amplified for the church in Mongolia in such a time now, in such a time, so we commend this coming trip to you, the seasons, the time, the sessions, the preaching, the counsel, the words, even over a plate of food or a cup of coffee, even in those moments where we are just relaxed and we are just in our normal queue of conversation, you can speak. You can bring light to the Church of Jesus Christ in Ulaanbaatar. Thank you, Lord. The same light that you brought forth in the first creation is the light that you brought forth in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Bring light to the church there, for our time there, myself and Adriel and all the leaders and the pastors and God's people there, Lord, in that capital city. You have laid a foundation, but Lord, as to where the foundation is, Lord, only you will know. So build your church. Build her till the gates of hell will not prevail and cannot prevail against her. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Even here for our lives here, help us to walk in the light. Help us. So many of us, we're so poor walking. We're so poor walkers of light. We're so poor in the demonstration of being children and sons and daughters of light. Help us here. Thank you so much. As you continue to bless this book, Lord, that go forth now into hands and lives and people and the sayings of the Lord. Wherever you take it, Lord, bring light to it. Speak life to it, Lord. For this we give you thanks. We give you praise this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right.